M is for Mason.
G is for Graham.
B for Thatcher.
This is the MGB Wrestling Podcast, the podcast with PG rated material accessible to wrestling fans of all ages.
My name is Graham Bagshaw, and my co-host and creator of this podcast is proof that wrestling fans live with their parents, my 10-year-old son, Mason. All right, this is our last episode before we go on our break to England. We already got the three episodes prepared for that, 18, 19, and 20, and they'll be coming out on Friday as normal. We're coming out on Wednesday this week, so it's slightly different. And we've also got a debuting podcast as well on the Visionaries Wrestling Network, and we've got a little promo for that now.
You're listening to the MGB Wrestling Podcast here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. While you're here, why don't you tune in this Thursday to listen to Matt Attack make its debut, when I'll be joined by my good friend Jimmy C, by Chad and Diesel from Unview from Top Rope, as we attack the Money in the Bank pay-per-view predictions. Will I finally get the monkey off my back and finally get a win under my belt? Wait and see. Follow me on Twitter at MattAttackUK. Follow Jimmy on Twitter at Judgment_Jimmy. And follow Chad and Diesel at their usual addresses. Take care, guys. I'm out of here.
All right. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at MGB Wrestling Pod. And you can follow me at Mr. Bagshaw. All right. As we got a lot of things to get packed ready for our trip, Mason, let's get straight into what we're going to do this week. All right. In match one, we got Mason's WWE update. In match two, we've got highlights from Monday Night Raw. Match 3, we've got Mason's wrestling birthdays. Match 4, our new round, Are You Smarter Than a 4-Year-Old? Match 5, highlights from SmackDown Live. Match 6, Tweet of the Week. Match 7, our updates from Nova Pro Wrestling, the Commonwealth Cup this weekend. Match 8 is Mason's takes. And match 9 is Podcast of the Week. Alright, in match 1, scheduled for...
1-4.
We got Mason's WWE update, and we've got Brock Lesnar's Twitter update. Now, Mason was kind of busy, so I actually took over for you to see what was going on this week, Mason, okay? Stephanie McMahon is set to appear on the TV show Undercover Boss, and that actually comes out on Friday. Now, I watched a 2-minute trailer for that. I know that's a show that Mommy likes to watch. I couldn't tell it was her. I totally could not tell it was her. It looked nothing like her. Normally, they get guys, they put a different wig on them, they put a moustache on them, but it's basically the same guy. You could not tell it was Stephanie. And because I was like, you're going to know her. She's on TV. Normally, the bosses, they see pictures of them and things like that. You couldn't tell it was her. And she can do a good southern accent as well. It didn't sound anything like her. It doesn't look like her. It doesn't sound like her. I think they might actually be able to pull this one off. But I'd be kind of interested to see that one. And the other one I found was from William Regal. William Regals are hilarious. They don't look anything like wrestling as well. And this one won't mean anything to you at all. Touring by public demand, the hilarious comedy play written by Bobby Ball that combines sitcom and variety with some understanding and memorable stand-up comedy from Cannon and Ball. Cannon and Ball are some comedians from the 1980s in England. That won't mean anything to anybody. That might mean something to a few of our listeners. I think that's hilarious that he posts that stuff on his Twitter feed as general manager for NXT. Now, I said Brock Lesnar's Twitter feed was probably going to be a very occasional thing. In fact, the previous 8 weeks, there would have been nothing at all. However, I saw one news story that made me think he actually had something to do. And he did. He actually had 2 tweets this week, so he's really excelled himself. So one of them was, of course, not from him, retweeted. Yeah. Retweeted from Paul Heyman. For the record, this is just the beginning of a long list of history-making achievements by my client, at Brock Lesnar, is, and then he made a spelling mistake, he put prepared, I think he meant to put prepared, anyway, he missed that one, prepared to rack up during the next 12 months, and that's not a prediction, that's a spoiler. And also from Paul Heyman, congratulations to at Brock Lesnar for day number 435 as the reigning defending, undisputed, at WWE, hashtag Universal Heavyweight Champion. This is yet another historic accomplishment for my client, the longest consecutive day tenure as a globally recognized champion in the modern era. Of course, if it's not the modern era, it would be Bruno. But anyway, yeah. So there was a couple this time. I think that's a segment that we're actually going to tag in onto Mason's WWE update. I feel in most weeks I'm just going to go, yeah, Brock didn't post anything, but I'm going to add that into match one. All right, match two. This was the highlights from Monday Night Raw. Normally I check with you what your 3 moments were, but we watched this at different times again. So go ahead, tell me what your 3rd moment was, Mason.
My 3rd moment is Bobby Lashley. He completed the obstacle course and 42 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And then when Sammy Hughes was talking, he said he did it this morning and he completed it in a minute 30 seconds.
So basically, Bobby could have done two laps in the time, and that's 10 seconds to spare in the time that it took Sammy to do that.
And Bobby, he was like showing to the crowd, acknowledging them. So.
And he took his time to ring the bell at the end as well.
Yeah.
He climbed up and he was like, Bobby, ring the bell. And it was like a good few seconds. So he could have probably done that even quicker as well. So, he's certainly in shape. I think Sammy might be regretting making that challenge because it was pretty obvious that Bobby was going to be so much better.
Yeah.
All right, second moment.
My second moment is Ronda Rousey. She's inducted to the UFC Hall of Fame, and she's the first ever woman inducted.
She was, and this was actually one of the Mason takes that I was thinking about but didn't actually go with. So she's not actually left she hasn't actually left UFC that long ago. I think it's only about 2 years ago. And now, I know for baseball, because that's the other sport that we follow, you've got to be retired for 5 years before you even consider. There are a few exceptions. Lou Gehrig was one after he died, but he was straight in. And I think Roberto Clemente was another one because he died. But basically, you've always got to wait 5 years. And that was going to be one of the questions. Do you think it's too early? Should she have to wait longer than 2 years to be inducted?
That's really hard, though. I think, like, 2 or 3 years is enough because, like, you're still remembered really well if it's, like, 2 or 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And then you're still kind of close. But, like, 5 years, there's so many other stars that could have risen then that you could fall back into the water.
And I don't mind it so much for UFC, actually. For baseball, I like the fact that it's 5 years because you actually do have a chance to then think about it, see what other players are coming up, and actually judge, are they really Hall of Fame worthy? And they've been going for much longer, those halls. I don't know how long the UFC hall's been going, but probably not very long. Some people even doubt, should Ronda Rousey be in the Hall of Fame? I was like, you gotta be kidding me. If it wasn't for Ronda Rousey, none of the people that followed her and who beat her and who are still going now would be around because of her. Really, they didn't even have a division until she was there. So she was responsible for a lot of those things. All right, what was your top moment this week?
My top moment was Elias's whole entire song. When I listened to it, I had tears rolling down my face. It was so funny. Especially when Elias, he said, Seth Rollins, he's an architect.
Uh-huh.
But also he says to burn it down, so he needs to make up his mind.
That is a contradiction.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Now, I actually had Elias as an honorable mention. I thought about this before. You often say, I was thinking of putting this in. I'm going to have an honorable mention from now on as well. Ones that were close. Elias was close. The guitar that was from John Mayer. John Mayer. And then he did the stomp on it. So I was close.
That was almost my moment.
Yeah.
I was about to pick that Seth wanted to have a charity auction for the... the guitar. That was about to be my moment.
Alright, now I actually put at the start of this, I loved Raw this weekend. On Monday. I thought it was fantastic. I told you after I'd watched it, I was like, I could have easily picked more than three moments. I even had an honorable mention, and I had several that I changed during the time. Like, I wrote one down, I was like, that could definitely be one of my three. And then it disappeared. Alright, my third moment was match, I think it was one of the first matches. It might have even been the first match. The Fatal 4-Way. Natalya, Ember Moon, Sasha, and Alexa. I thought it was brilliant. It constantly kept switching. They worked brilliantly on it. There were so many near falls. They kept breaking it up on a count of 2.5. I just liked the whole thing. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. That could have easily been the closing match, I thought. And it finished with Natalya beating Alexa with a sharpshooter. But yeah, I thought that match was really good. All right, my second moment was, and I thought you might pick this one actually, Kevin Owens jumping from the ladder onto Braun Strowman. I really liked that moment. I thought that was really cool.
That one was a cool.
He got a lot of airtime on that one. And even for someone as big as Braun, he's going to feel something like that. And the table collapsed. And yeah, it was good. I really liked that one.
His head was on a pencil, too.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Ouch. Oh, that could have been very bad. All right. And my number one moment was just the power of Ronda Rousey. In the segment they were doing together, Nia was playing a heel character this week because she switches every week. So this week she was back to heel again, and she attacked Ronda, she headbutted Ronda, and I really liked her trying to apply that armbar to her, and that really convinced me that, because normally you think Nia Jax is too big, nobody really has a chance on against her. I generally think she has a chance against her.
Mm-hmm.
If she can get her in one of those moves, and if she can take her leg out, if she takes her leg out and she's on the floor, she's not going to be able to defend against that armbar at all. I'm really hoping Ronda Rousey wins.
Yeah.
I know some people said it's too quick. I want Ronda Rousey as champion.
When Nia Jax, she had the armbar and she linked her arms, and as soon as her arms let it go, she tapped.
Yep.
Even though it wasn't even a match, she still tapped.
Uh-huh.
It's just an instinct.
Yeah, and she let her go straight away, which is kind of generous. All right, let's see what the top 10 moments were. And some of these, I looked on here, I was like, yep, I considered this. All right, number 10, Double Team Neckbreaker. So it's another win for the B Team. And then Matt and Hardy and Bray came out at the end, and they said they were going to delete them. I nearly had that one. I do like Matt Hardy when he comes out with his delete, and all the lights went down. And number 9, there was the Riot kick on Bayley, which gave the Riot Squad the win, or Ruby Riot specifically, I guess. Number 8, Dolph and Drew win again. Number 7, Seth with a stomp on the guitar. One of the commentators said that John Meyer was hip-hop. I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. All right, number 6 was Sami Zayn ambushing Lashley as he finishes the assault course. Number 5 was the jump that I just talked about from KO on Braun Strowman. Number 4, Superman punched a Sunil Singh and then a spear. Poor old Sunil. And then, of course, Jinder used that as his motivation to get Roman. Number 3, Rousey on Nia after the headbutt, which we talked about. Number 2, Natalya made Alexa tap. And that's kind of unusual that the moment right at the start gets such a high rating on this. Now, I actually knew what the number 1 moment was going to be, even though I didn't pick it.
Yeah.
It was always at the end. Kevin Owens slammed on a ladder by Braun Strowman. I didn't think it was fantastic. He power slams all the time. It was on a ladder. It doesn't make any difference. You can slam him on the ring and he's still going to win easily. So I avoided that one. All right, match 3, Mason's Wrestling Birthdays. So this is the last time I'm going to read out the full promo, but it's really difficult to find a night school class on wrestlers, so each week Mason will research two wrestlers who have their birthday coming up in the next week. One who he knows well or fairly well, and the other he doesn't know well or at all. He'll tell us a little about them and when their birthday is. So who did you pick this week, Mason?
I picked Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
He would turn 59, but he's dead.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, James Bryan Helwig. Had a
Helwig.
Helwig.
How do you spell that?
H-E-L-L-W-I-J.
Oh, with a J. Oh, okay.
I mean, no, not G.
Oh, so it is literally like Helwig.
Yes.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yes. Huh. Had a great few days before his death. On April 5th, he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. The next day, appeared on WrestleMania 30, and on April 7th, he made his last Raw appearance and TV appearance. The day before his death. Accordingly to reports, Warrior clutched his chest, collapsed at 5:50 p.m., walking to his car with his wife, Dana Warrior. Warrior's colleagues said he was weak during WrestleMania weekend and said he was sweating and breathing heavily backstage. Warrior died by a heart attack, but his legacy will always be remembered.
And that was one of the wrestlers. Now you put it on your list of somebody who you do know fairly well. And he was somebody that I didn't know very well either. That whole 80s era, I didn't get it in England. I didn't get to watch WWE. And that was actually, I think it was not this Christmas. I think it was the Christmas before. I actually bought you a book on Ultimate Warrior, which we read together. And fantastic book. I'm trying to look. I think it's actually on our bookshelf here.
Yeah.
Ultimate Warrior, A Lifelong...
Forever.
A life lived forever. And yeah, lots of really colourful pictures in there. And that actually gave us some ideas to go watch matches actually from the network as well. So yeah, that's somebody who we know a lot more about now, I would say. All right, what about the person that you don't know so well?
Is Rezar. Rezar from NXT.
Uh-huh.
He would turn 24 and...
I thought he was on the main roster now.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just keep thinking of him as an NXT star because he doesn't really appear much in Raw.
I'm not sure he has appeared. They brought
He's
him
appeared
up on the,
once. When
they bring him up on the shuffle, and then I don't think
they
do
and then
yet.
They pushed Paul Ellering.
Okay, oh, that's right, yeah.
Him.
That's right, okay.
Yeah, he started practicing judo from age 4.
Oh, wow.
Then he started kickboxing at age 12.
Mm-hmm.
Rezar got invited to try out in D-Hi. And was William Regal's choice to get him to sign a WWE contract. Authors of Pain with Paul Ellering, that was when I written it, he defeated DIY to win the Dusty Rhodes Classic. I couldn't find much else on Rezar.
Okay.
It was really hard to find anything.
And we should say that you actually researched all these, I think it was Memorial Day weekend. And you had a lot to do. You had, I think this is your third week of doing this.
Yes.
You also had the 3 weeks to do while we're away.
I had
and we have
the
those.
Hierarchies.
And you also did the 1 week after, because when we come back, we literally have one day to watch everything that we've got. So you did like seven in a row.
I did the Twitter hierarchies on that same day.
Uh huh. Yes, you did.
And
so
we went somewhere on that day.
You had a lot. Yeah, it was kind of a busy day for you. So yeah, the birthdays ones you had to sort of quickly put together for that one. Now you're just going to have one to do each week, which should make it a lot easier.
And the hierarchies would be a lot easier because I like to do a week, not a month.
All right, match four. As you've left fourth grade now, we talked about this on Twitter. We can't do that anymore. Well, we're not allowed to go to do the next grade because that's actually a syndicated TV show. So for copyright, we're not allowed to do that. Once you're in sixth grade, it'll be fine. But we realize Jackson really wants to be on this show, podcast. He always talks about, I want to record a podcast. So with him being 4 years old, we're changing it. Are you smarter than a four-year-old? Now, this was genius on my part, I thought. I thought it would be really good to get him involved. Multiple choice questions. He's obviously just going to guess because he's not going to know the answers to them. You're going to do it based on knowledge. And so if he beats you, it would be really funny. Now, we also talked about there should be some sort of, I don't know, consequence if you weren't to beat him. I know Matt Attack's really keen on this idea. He told me he's come up with some new ones as well. But we'll see how it goes to begin with. I think just for the first few weeks, we'll just play the game, see how we do. I also think it'll be funny for some of our listeners as well. Nobody wanted to lose to you, but nobody's going to want to lose to a four-year-old even more. Now, I've already recorded my answers with him, so I'm going to play them to you afterwards so you can see if you actually beat him. But we're going to do yours first, okay? So this one is based on, I'm currently putting together a spreadsheet of all the wrestlers who've ever fought matches in Nova Pro. Because when we do our Nova Pro one, I always want to say their record is. And I can only do it if they're new to Nova Pro, because I can remember the last few matches. So I'm putting that together. Now, I got to go back through all the wrestlers and I put them together. While I was doing that, I was like, oh, I didn't know they were in Nova Pro. So I found some new people who I didn't know were in Nova Pro. Now, I've also added to this list, though, some people who've never been in Nova Pro as well. So your question for this one is, you've got to figure out, have these people ever been in Nova Pro or not? Okay? So it's just a simple yes or no answer. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And I put them in alphabetical order, so you can't try and figure out, did I put any pattern in there at all? Okay? All right, there's 10 questions. Okay? You ready for the first one?
Yeah.
All right, first one. Somebody who we saw the other week. Big Sean Studd.
Oh, I think, no.
He did, and that's why it surprised me, because I didn't think he had. And I was surprised, because he lives actually in Virginia. And he goes up to Maryland, and he goes down to Richmond. And I always wondered, I was like, why doesn't he come to Nova Pro? He did actually appear one time. So, okay. Second one. From 205 Live, Cedric Alexander.
No.
Amazingly, that's yes. That was one of those when I was like, whoa. And not just once. I think it was like twice.
Well, he was in a Ring of Honor. He probably got a ring.
I was really surprised by that one as well. All right, so not a great start here. 0 for 2. All right, next one. Dave Crist from Impact Wrestling.
Don't even know that is. So, I'll just go yeah.
That one's no. I had to make one up for that one. All right, 0 for 3 to begin. Hey, Matt, you might want to start getting that little consequence ready if it keeps going like this. All right, number 4, Drew Gulak from 205 Live.
Oh, God, no.
Correct. He hasn't appeared, so you've got one. All right, Donovan Dijak, who's on NXT.
You probably don't even know who that is, so no.
No, he has. I actually watched him. I watched his debut the other week. And I didn't mention that at the time, but and then when his name came up, I was like, oh, I saw him on NXT the other week. He got squashed pretty quickly. I think he was against EC3. It was that distraction match when Johnny came out with his contract. So I actually saw that one. So 1 for 5 to begin with. All right. Well, you'll see how Jay did in a minute. All right, next one. Somebody else we saw at VCW recently. Elijah Drake.
Elijah Drake? Yes.
Nope. Now, the one I nearly put in was actually going to be Brandon Scott, who we saw at VCW, and he has actually appeared at Nova Pro. 1 out of 6. All right, what about Flip Gordon from Ring of Honor, who's trying to currently get into All In?
No.
Correct. He has never appeared at Nova Pro. All right, number 8, Kimberly.
Kimberly? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Correct. Now, I tried to trick you on this one. Because
she's appearing on the next one.
She is appearing on the next one, correct. And I didn't know she'd been before. So I was thinking you might go think, oh, no, because she's appearing on the next one. So the answer's no, and tried to trick you. But you got that one right. All right, you got 3. All right, from the Making Towns classic, Samantha Hypes.
Oh, no.
And I deliberately picked that one as well. It's yes.
Oh, wait, what?
She has actually appeared.
Said he was impressed with her and he wanted to...
Correct. And that's what I thought as well. That was my trick one to try and mess you up as well. She has appeared only once and it was very early on. So perhaps in 2 years, she's perhaps really improved. So I don't know. So that'll be an interesting one. But yeah, no, I got confused by that one. All right, you got 3 out of 9 so far. All right, the last one was Trevor Lee from Impact Wrestling.
Oh, no.
And I'm afraid you got that one wrong. Wow. Trevor Lee has actually appeared at Nova Pro. That was one of them. I told you, I looked on that list, I was like, wow, there was some surprises. So let me go through some of the ones that were yes. Big Sean Studd, Cedric Alexander, which I was very impressed with. Donovan Dijak. Now, actually, Donovan Dijak, I believe, was actually in the 2017 Commonwealth Cup. He was the one who lost to Tim Domst, and then he took out Tim Domst, basically, in the aftermatch, if I remember correctly. Another yes one was Kimberly, and also Santas. But Trevor Lee as well. That was kind of impressive. I only saw him once so far. I haven't done all my spreadsheets so far. All right, 3 out of 10. So let's have a little listen here, Mason. And we'll see how well Jackson actually did. Question one. Big Sean Studd.
No.
That one's a yes, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he wanted to give two answers. One. Cedric Alexander.
No.
That one was a yes as well. All right. Next one. Dave Crist.
No.
Correct. You got that one right. All right, next one. Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
That was a no as well, unfortunately. No. All right, next one. Donovan Dijak.
Yeah.
That was a yes, correct. All right, next one. Two. Elijah Drake.
Yeah.
That one was no.
No.
All right, next one. Flip Gordon.
No.
Correct.
That's three.
All right, next one. Kimberly.
No.
That was a yes, unfortunately. All right, Samantha Hives.
No.
That was a yes as well. Yes. And last one, Trevor Lee.
Yeah.
Correct. And then we'll see how Mason did. We can see
Mason is hitting the floor right now. It came down to the last one. Oh, Jackson said bye there as well. Yeah, it came down to the last one.
Why do they still do the punishment?
we said at the start we wouldn't do that. Yeah, I thought with him only getting 4 out of 10, you might have a pretty good chance, actually. Mm-hmm. I thought that was... That's fun. I definitely want to do that again.
No, it's not.
And I... Well, we'll have to see what our listeners
that's
say.
That's probably the worst quiz I ever had.
Oh, that's not what this is about. This is about entertainment value. Well, we'll have to see what our listeners say. If our listeners do not like it, then perhaps we will change it. Yay. But I had great fun doing it, so I'm going to vote anyway on mine and say, at Mr. Bagshaw is going to say, we definitely need to keep this round going because it was absolutely hilarious.
At MGB Wrestling Podcast, no.
Oh, I can vote from yours as well.
That was probably the worst score I've ever had in all of the quizzes I've ever done.
Now, I don't think I mentioned this to you, but somebody actually got a lower score than you last week. Yeah. Remember you got 6 out of 9, 6.5 out of 9?
Yeah.
Now, Matt Attack said he got 6 out of 9, but he said he doesn't do half points, so he claims he got a tie. I've not heard from Dej Kirby, actually, so I'm not sure how Mags and Bags actually did on this. But I did get one message from somebody who said that, no, they didn't get that. I think they got 2 out of 9, I think they said. Okay. So you did get a win on this one here. And surprisingly, the one they got was Benjamin Banks as well.
Oh.
And because I thought that was one just for you. And I said, I thought that was one of the most difficult ones on there. That was to give you a head start. In match 5, our highlights from SmackDown Live. Now, this is recorded out of sequence. We recorded everything Tuesday night, so this is Wednesday morning. We just got to get everything together a little bit quicker, because, like I say, we've been going on our holiday soon. All right, Mason, what was your third moment from SmackDown? Assuming you have three this week.
Yes, I have three. My third moment is Miz is the guest referee for Samoa Joe and Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
My second moment...
That's all you want? Oh, I thought you were going to say more about that. All right, well, I want to add some more into that, then. I thought it was really cool. And I think, actually, you already told me. Do you have more than one moment that involves the Miz?
Yeah.
All right, so I got to be careful about which part I talk about. So I'm just going to talk about stuff that was in the ring then for that moment. I actually liked the part then, and I don't know if this is one of them. The fact he got crushed into the ring post. I can't remember which way around it was. I think it was not Aiden English. Rusev moved out of the way, and then he got crushed by Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
Is that right? I thought that was really funny. I think he's the perfect ref. I think he's a really good guest referee. He's obviously got that heel element to him as well.
I really liked when Samoa Joe, he brent Miz's hand back.
Uh-huh.
And then Rusev, he got him down.
Uh-huh.
And then Miz, he was about to count with that hand. And then he just switched to the other hand.
I thought it was a good segment. I definitely like that, and I definitely think that's something. I can imagine even after Miz is like retired, he couldn't like wrestle anymore. Although I think he could go a long. I think he could wrestle a long time. Like Jericho's like late 40s now, I think. Miz has a similar sort of. I think he has like durability as well. I think, but he could definitely do something like that to extend his career. All right, go ahead. What was your second moment?
My second moment is after the match, Miz he goes up Well, Aiden in English, he brings in a ladder for Rusev to go up and climb the money in the bank.
Uh-huh.
Miz, he brings Rusev down and he gives him a skull crushing finale.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes up, grabs the money in the bank. And then he goes over to the announcer's table. He slams it on the table and then he opens it up and then there's pancakes all in it. He goes back to the New Day and then Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston are sharing a shirt.
And that was the point that I mentioned. They've never done that before.
No, they look huge.
I thought that looked really funny. Like I say, I'm finally becoming a fan of the New Day a little bit. I said I liked them in the ring, but I didn't like them outside. I liked them outside the ring this week as well. I thought that was that double shirt thing. I thought that was hilarious. I really
like
that.
That's the only thing that, they're not being annoying, really.
Well, they weren't playing that trombone, which was a good thing. I can't stand that trombone. But I think it was good because it annoyed Miz. I think that's probably the reason
they weren't
liked
doing
it.
This stupid stuff.
Correct. All right. What was your number one moment, then?
My number one moment is Miz, he's asking Paige to be, the guest referee.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's talking a whole lot. And then Paige, she said, "When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut."
And I actually have that as my number one moment as well. My number one moment specifically was Paige. Now, I put in general, I thought she did a really good job. I've heard a lot of people saying that Paige is a really good general manager. But I was like, I think she's doing all right.
Yeah.
But this episode in particular, I was like, oh my gosh, she's got it. She's really good. She totally fits into that slot. Before, it was always like, she's like a temporary fill. She doesn't really know. Today, I totally bought into it that she was general manager. But that one, I put on the end. But in particular, her mimicking Miz. And I thought that was absolutely brilliant. So we agree then on that one.
Yeah.
That was the number one moment. All right, let me go back to my other moments then. And I was kind of being sarcastic with you when I asked you, did you actually have three this week? Because I knew that you had three. And we had more, possibly. It was really difficult to choose again. I think this has probably been, this is our episode 17. I think this has been the best week for Raw and SmackDown combined. All right, my third moment was the last match. Flair was escaping from a double suplex, and she tagged in Asuka. I just thought that was really good. It looked like she was in big trouble. She flipped over the top, and tagged in Asuka, and then Asuka carried on, and eventually she managed to tap out Carmella, which I thought was the perfect lead into Money in the Bank, actually, as well. And my second moment, bring more Jerry Lawler on the show.
Yeah.
The King. I don't think they use him anywhere near as much as they could. I love listening to his podcast. I like hearing his voice. He's well known. He got a big pop from the crowd when he came out. Use him for that interviewing role. He's perfect for that. I don't think you can put him on the commentary team anymore because I know JR doesn't do that anymore. I know you can do that occasionally. You couldn't really put JR and, I don't know, Corey Graves together. But definitely use more of Jerry Lawler. And it was his interview with AJ Styles. And just the phrases that he uses, I liked how you smack the taste out of Nakamura's mouth. I like the way he chooses his words. And obviously, he's been in the business now. I don't even know how many years he's been in the business. A lot. He must be getting on for...
He's 68, though.
Yeah, that makes me think he must have been nearly 50 years now. If you think when he originally started as a wrestler. And he obviously has experience with promos and things like that. And I actually liked AJ's response as well. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't knock his head off with my fist. Which I really liked as well. I thought that was a great segment as well.
I liked how in the signing Nakamura, he was like, these pins are broken.
And we had that as our moments last week as well. Yeah, no, I thought
he was so serious, and then this pen has no ink. I like how he does that stuff though, and he no speak English to that,
uh-huh.
And then he seems so serious and.
And the one thing that definitely wasn't making my top 10 with Nakamura, a low blow on Jeff Hardy, really. I love Jeff Hardy, and I'm just so tired of that low blow. And it seems to be his gimmick, but it's a gimmick that I don't really like. All right, my honorable mention, because I'm always going to have one. It's a short one. I just want to see. Perhaps I haven't noticed this before. You're normally more observant with things like this. You know, it gives you the little facts on the side where it shows you the wrestler's name.
Yeah.
And it tells you something about them. On Rusev's, it said, today's Rusev Day.
Yes. Yeah.
He always does that?
Yeah.
All right, I don't really like Rusev, so I've not really noticed it before. And I normally don't really pay attention to the intros anyway. And if I can, I normally try and skip them. But that was one where I actually watched it today and I was like, oh, did they put that on there? Okay, so that's something they always do then. All right. And normally at this point, we'd do our top 10. Now, in America, the top 10s normally come out. It's normally, when I get home from work, they're not normally there. I normally have to wait an hour, 2 hours, something like that. They normally come out about 4 p.m. It's currently 7:15 a.m. Our cat's decided to start playing with a toy right next to us, so you might be able to hear that. So yeah, we're not going to have the top 10 for 9 hours. So we're not going to be able to do that, because this is going to be released by then. What I will do is, when we release the episode, I'm going to post a link to the top 10. So if people want to check to see what was top 10, then they can see how well we actually did. Certainly be clear that we didn't cheat this week anyway. Not that there's any point in cheating for this anyway. But I'm going to assume probably one of the number one moments will be, I'm going to assume it's Carmella tapping out to Oscar.
Yeah, that was the number one.
I'm assuming, because it links in with Money in the Bank. It was definitely the last thing that happened, and neither of us picked that, but okay, we're looking into our crystal balls, that's what we're going to pick. All right, match six, tweet of the week. And we already alluded to this earlier. At Lillian Garcia, I am so proud of you, at Ronda Rousey. You are such a trailblazer. Congratulations. So Ronda Rousey was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame Modern Wing on July the 5th, 2018. Now, the fact that there's a Modern Wing, Mason, suggests
that there's a past wing?
Yeah, there's like an older wing as well, I'm guessing. Now, I had to do that to you because when I said it last week, I said that there was the documentary on Johnny Gargano, and I said there's a part one, which implies, and you were like, oh, and didn't realize it was part two. So I just wanted to see if you made the connection on that one. And actually, there's a response to this. At Ronda Rousey, this is an immense honor to not only take part in bringing women to the forefront of this sport, but now the Hall of Fame. May I be the first of many. So that did get mentioned on the show. I actually came up with this before I saw the show because we're recording so early this week. Match 7, Nova Pro update. Now, we actually released three episodes on, Sunday on YouTube and then Monday on iTunes and all those other places. It was the Commonwealth Cup, which is Nova Pro's pretty much WrestleMania. Three sessions, and we actually have three separate podcasts out for it. The first session Friday night was the Men's Commonwealth Cup qualifiers to get to the final. Saturday afternoon was the Women's qualifiers to get to the final. And then the evening session on Saturday was both finals and a few other matches in there as well. Actually, the men actually had to do their semi-finals. Then it was the Women's final, a few other matches, and then the Men's final. Now, always when we record this, we notice things afterwards. So we normally use this for our updates. Or I think you're going to use it for some of your top moments for people who don't necessarily want to listen to. I think we have nearly 2 hours of material. We said we were going to keep it short, and we did, with it being three sessions, and we still ran to nearly 2 hours. It was a really cool event, and somebody actually mentioned on Twitter today, you can tell that you guys really enjoyed it. I was like, oh yeah, it was by far the best event we've ever been to at Nova Pro. All right, do you want to give us your third moment from this?
My third one I want to talk about is when we went to go get Rachel Ellering's autograph.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that she had a wallet, and it was the one with Paul Ellering, the Ascension wallet. Okay. And then
authors of Pain? Ascension's the women, isn't it?
No, Ascension are men.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Paul Ellering also managed them, and I saw she had a Ascension wallet.
Oh, okay.
And then I went over, and we were looking around the Savage Stash.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw the Ascension wallet, so she actually got one from the Savage Stash.
Now I saw one with a British Bulldog as well, which I was kind of tempted on, so I was like, because we're going to Britain as well, I was like, that would kind of be a cool one to perhaps just use that for wrestling events. I've got my standard wallet I'll use everywhere else, but I did think about that. Do you want to talk about what we did with Rachel, what we said to her?
We asked her, is she actually related to Paul Ellering, and she said yeah, she actually is.
Yeah, because you asked me again, I said I don't know, and she said yes, it's my dad. Now, you said afterwards that you were really excited to meet Paul Ellering's daughter, and I said I was really excited to meet Rachel Ellering herself. And you said, though, you haven't really seen her, because I watched her on Powerbomb TV as well. I thought she had a fantastic match against Jordan Grace.
Yeah.
I thought it could have easily been a final. I heard the person next to her saying, and I would agree
Ryan
with that
said
as well.
That too.
Yeah, definitely. All right, do you want to give us your second moment?
My second moment was then Wheeler, Yuta, and Homicide, they're fighting near where our seats was.
Uh-huh.
And then the whole entire time I was thinking, oh, we're going to get a lot of action near our seats. When that was before the second,
uh-huh,
the third session, and we were after the second session.
Uh-huh.
And we were waiting, and I saw them, and I was like, oh, we're going to get a lot of action there.
Yeah, because we watched them as we were coming in through the door, because they were doing their little practice. Yeah. Now, as we have this update today, and we're recording so early, I have an update to my update as well. Literally 10 minutes before we came online, it's just been announced at the next event, which I can't remember what it's called, American Slang.
Yes.
There's going to be a rematch between Homicide and Wheeler Yuta.
Oh.
Now, I'm assuming this is not your number one moment, but actually there was a quick count on Homicide. And he got, basically, it was a two, and he got kicked out. And everyone was like, well, what happened? I mean, Wheeler Yuta made the final, and then Wheeler Yuta won the tournament. And, after that, Homicide came out and basically destroyed the Commonwealth Cup, took out Wheeler Yuta, threatened his family. So, yeah, they've already set that up as the next match.
Okay.
American Slang. All right, number one moment.
After PCO's match, he comes over and he actually signs my jersey.
He did. Do you want to give the backstory to this, or do you want me to?
So you looked on Twitter, and then you asked him, will he sign my jersey? And then he said yes. And then we weren't expecting it, and then he said he would sign my jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came over.
He said he'd sign it later after his match. I was like, that's fine.
And then he came over for the Sharpie, and then you gave it to him. And then when he was trying to push down on me, I was about to topple over. I was trying so hard.
You put your arms down on that chair to support yourself. It was a cool moment. Yeah. We knew from the previous
day. But I had to bend down extra.
Correct.
And he felt, I don't know, it felt comfortable, I guess, to him.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even notice that he's a lefty.
I didn't notice that until after I watched the clips afterwards and we saw some of the pictures. Now, the reason we asked him on Twitter was, we would have bought his autograph.
Yeah.
We'll often go and buy the 8x10s, get an autograph, and we've got them all in a little binder, and it's a really cool collection that we're building up already. And we didn't see him come out, and I was like, I can't believe he's not coming out. The fans went crazy from day one. His match against Nick Gage was just brilliant. And somebody said, he can't bring merch with him because he's coming from Canada. And I think he's the PCO. I think his Twitter handle is like at PCO Quebecca or something, Quebec, which is in Canada. And someone's like, he can't do that. He can't bring merchandise over the border because it's part of his like visa issue or whatever. So I was like, we're going to have the same thing again. We might not see him again. I thought the only way I can get it is if I take a picture of you with your jersey, so one, he knows who you are, and ask, can we get it? Then at least he knows somebody would like his autograph. He responded within like 15 minutes, so we didn't even have to wait, like, will he do it? Will he not do it? He said PCO's name will be on your jersey at the end. And, certainly if you want to know more about this, go and listen to our regular episode. I think we talked for like 15 minutes on the second PCO match, and probably about 10 minutes on the first one. For me, it was definitely the highlight of that whole event. And you're on Powerbomb TV.
Yay!
You can see it clearly being signed, and a lot of people said, wow, what a cool moment. That's something you'll talk about for years. And I really think it will be. I really think it was. I know there's a documentary coming out on him. I can't wait to watch that. I really want to know more about PCO.
Are we going to be in England at the time?
I don't know. The documentary could take a year to produce. Who knows? He might be collecting stuff. He'd have to edit the footage. It's like a film. So I don't know how long it's going to be. It might just be like a 20-minute one like Johnny Gargano. It could be a two-hour one like Jake the Snake. So I really don't know. That Jake the Snake one, they filmed footage over like a year and a half, 2 years.
Oh.
So I don't know how much detail this person's going into on that. All right. My three moments. And I don't think I told you about this first one to begin with. The first one was a fan actually blasted the gated community on Twitter. Now, they got rid of their tweet later, but actually Ed responded to them. He said, I would like to take the time to thank at Tom FVA and at VA Gent Mike and the entire roster and fans and family that is at VA Wrestling. Engaging with fans on social media platforms is often discouraged because of what can transpire. In one swift action, the positives outshine the negatives. So yeah, there was a lot of negative stuff going around, but everyone rallied around because they know he's not like that. He's just playing a character. He's like everybody else, the gated community. He's not the 1%. He plays that character and he boos everybody else, but he's a really nice guy.
Yes.
Okay, it carries on. There was actually four tweets because he had a lot to say. Second one, the at one gated community wasn't created to bring about negativity. Wrestling is the theater in action. Fans make a promotion. Without them, your product dies. People in our community suffer from depression, prejudice, and issues that many of us do not. Tweet three, wrestling is that escape that allows everyone to dream and to be part of something special. No matter how bad your day is, wrestling can offer you that brief time to step away and believe and focus on something else. The talent and fans that have become a part of my life, and then the fourth tweet, are priceless to me. The memories I have are worth more than any trophy, belt, or piece of merch. Life isn't about getting ahead, it's about helping everyone along the journey. At VA Wrestling saved my life, and in that crowd, it's probably helping someone too. Hashtag winners won. And I totally agreed with that. We've had a few dealings with Ed, and he's always been super nice to us. He's been very supportive of us. Really nice guy, and I know he supports other people as well. When you look on Twitter, you can see him boosting other people, promoting them as well.
He always puts us on his follow train.
He puts us on his follow train, and really nice guy. And I don't know why somebody would do that. I guess it's somebody who perhaps hadn't been before, didn't realize. I'm still surprised in the day 2018 that people still believe like wrestling's real. They believe that everything they see is really true. I'm absolutely shocked. So anyway, I thought that was something that we didn't talk about on the original one, so I wanted to talk about. All right, my second point. We knew Eddie Kingston had a knee injury. We knew that Gunnar Miller was out for the year, and we talked about that one. We also found out that Jinx was actually injured as well, and that's why she wasn't there. And we found that out from her tag team partner, Aspen Rose, who we actually found out actually listens to our podcast.
Yeah.
We keep finding that. I'm always shocked every time. I never thought, when I did this, I thought, we might get 10 listens. There might be 10 people who got another pro who might like to listen. I never thought for 1 second the wrestlers would ever listen to it.
No.
And each time we keep going, we keep finding out, oh yeah, I listen to your podcast.
Well, they're probably the only, like you said, we're probably the only podcast that actually reviews Nova Pro.
It could
Lots
be.
Of them, like...
They preview it.
Yeah.
They talk what's coming up. Yeah.
And they interview people from Nova Pro.
Uh-huh. Now, I got one more injury from a Nova Pro person who wasn't there this time. He was there the last time. Ricky Shane Page.
Oh.
Remember he gets into those crazy matches? All right, I want to show you this picture. Before and after it says, getting staples hurt. Oh. Hashtag TOD.
Ew.
That's a lot of staples, right?
Oh, those are all...
That was before and after. He has a massive cut in his head, and then he had to get it, not just stitches, he had to get staples in there. So
ow.
If you're, yeah, so this, so the people that think this is, absolutely crazy. But yeah, we thought Ricky Shane Page, we knew he got into some crazy matches. I think that would prove it further. But that was one I didn't know about, and I saw afterwards as well, but I thought that was kind of crazy. All right, my third moment, and we got Maddie to thank for this one, at Madalorian. She mentioned to you on Twitter, at MGB Wrestling Pod, just finished the first part of the Cut podcast and had to look it up. PCO is blind in one eye from a pellet gun accident when he was a kid. So it's not a fake eye, which I would imagine would carry the risk of popping out in some wrestling situations. And I'm still shocked that we didn't follow up on this one. I know we had a lot to do. We basically had 3 podcasts to do in under a day. We had to record and edit, and I was just going through quick. And I didn't know that. I had no idea that PCO was blind. For some reason, I confused blind with losing an eye, and I think we both thought that. And then we thought, we know he had an eye patch earlier,
yeah.
And no, you can still have an eye, but it just doesn't work. So yeah, we don't know any more details, but yeah, a pellet gun, I'm sure those things are crazy. If it got fired and people weren't concentrating. I thought afterwards, that must be really difficult as a wrestler with depth perception. Because your second eye figures out where things are, and you can figure out how
That's
far they are in the distance.
Wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. But when he's diving through the ring, just be aware, he doesn't exactly know how far back you are necessarily. So you're probably right to back away from that a little bit more. But I thought that was an interesting one.
Well,
I trust him too. And he definitely dived when you moved out of your way. He definitely aimed for that seat where you weren't.
Yeah.
So he was good with that. But I certainly want to thank Maddie for following up on that. And I never even thought about following up afterwards.
Oh yeah, that's gotta hurt getting a pellet gun in your eye. When
you
it
think?
Just hurt when I had a whole big note. my backpack full of textbooks and all that in the last few days of school. I picked it up and it slipped out of my hands and then I accidentally punched myself in the eye and it hurt so bad. I was crying in school and then the teacher asked me, "Are you okay?" And then I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I accidentally punched myself in the eye." And then I just went on.
And when you told me this story this afternoon, I think I was probably crying as well. Because I was like, what on earth? How can you punch yourself in
the
face? The
backpack slipped.
You explained it. I heard it, but I still thought it was funny. All right, match 8, Mason's takes. I just got one for you this time. We already talked about it in the first section from Brock Lesnar. So Brock Lesnar is now past 334 days. He only had 10 title defenses. Now, he beat the record of CM Punk. He was champion for 434 days, 141 title defenses. That's like one every 3 days. Brock Lesnar, one every 43 days. Thoughts?
Doesn't Seth, he probably had the title about, I don't know, like 6 Raws?
Uh-huh.
And then he probably defended it 6 times.
He defended it every week to begin with.
Yes.
He basically, he didn't even know it was going to be. He just called it out. Open challenge. Anyone else to come out? Fair enough. I much prefer that. And I think that's why people like CM Punk.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar, probably half of his matches, and I think, are against Roman Reigns.
Probably. That one surprised me. Yeah, that's the other thing, yeah. I think it's appalling. I don't like that, having that champion that's only occasionally there. But
I hope
yeah.
Ronda's not like that, though. She only wrestled one match.
Well,
and
that's
the whole entire
I don't think she'll be defending it as much as CM Punk, but I think it will be a rarity. So they definitely want to keep her special. The thing with Brock is, though, he's been wrestling with WWE for over 15 years now. He's not special anymore. Everyone knows what it is. Ronda, I can understand. For a year, you'd want to keep her special, and you wouldn't want
yeah.
to use her so much. But yeah.
On my birthdays, I figured out how old he is. He's 41.
He is 41,
but
yeah.
still, he's in great shape.
Oh, it's fantastic shape, absolutely.
You probably would guess that he's in late 30s, early 30s.
He certainly could keep up with people who are a lot... Well, he has, obviously. He's been champion for over a year now as well. Now, this isn't really a Mason take, and I don't know if we had any yet. We played a game at Nova Pro where we tried to come up with tag teams from different people, put them together to see what happens. This all started with Jake Hollister and Aspen Rose. Because Jake Hollister's thing is he holds a rose, and Aspen Rose's name as well. So I said those two should tag together. And then Jake Hollister's tag team partner is actually Bo Crockett. And I came up with a rose, Bo, any other name. Anyway, so we started with silly ones. And you actually came up with Few for Nova Pro. While we were waiting, we had like a 45-minute wait between Session 2 and Session 3. So we were trying to think of ones. So I gave you a challenge. Could you think of any ones for non-Nova Pro wrestlers? Did you manage to come up with any?
I only came up with one. It's so okay. Hard.
It is kind of
difficult. I got one for the tag team is the right angle. Okay. And it could be the right... Right to center and Kurt Angle.
There you go. And I actually looked and I looked for Angle as well. And I, excuse me, as a math person, I went with acute, obtuse, reflex. Totally forgot right angle.
I thought
of one I could have done for acute, but I wasn't going to pick a female wrestler, so I left that one off my list. But yeah, no, that was kind of thing I was trying to think of. I came up with three.
Okay.
My first one was somebody who was supposed to appear at Nova Pro and didn't, Chelsea Green.
Yeah.
And, well, actually her alter ego from Impact Wrestling. And Matt Hardy, and that would be Laurel and Hardy, who you probably don't know who that is.
No.
It's a comedy group from like 100 years ago. All my references are so dated. I've had Cannon and Ball today, and I've gone even further back, Laurel and Hardy. All right, I went with Mandy Rose and Peyton Royce. Rose Royce?
Still don't.
Car, Rolls Royce.
Huh?
No, you not heard of Rolls Royce? No. It's like the most famous car in the world. All right, never mind. Well, you're definitely not going to get this one, okay. Roman, Sammy, and Killian. Okay, you know who all those people are?
Yeah.
All right, so I just went with first name. And their tag team is The Reigns in Zane Falls Mainly in the Dane. I know you got no idea what that one is. All my best puns are wasted on you guys. I'm trying to remember who we had. We had Matt on, and we're trying to come up with dog puns. And I came up with Becky Lynch. And of course, you were like, what? That's not a dog pun. And I was like, the Lassie Kicker. And I got tumbleweeds rolling through the room. Nobody responded. Crickets, no response. All right, I'm giving up on these puns. You guys, I'm preaching to an audience that doesn't appreciate my sense of humor, clearly. Match 9, podcast of the week. All right, I think you have one this week, right, Mason?
Oh, yeah, mine is the squirts. No, is it... I keep getting them too mixed up. It's Is It Over Yet, episode 9.
10. Oh, nine. I'm sorry, it is nine. Yes.
My next one is 10.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
And episode 9 we were just listening to because we were going to appear on episode 10.
Correct.
And I really like their podcast.
Uh-huh.
They sound like they've done lots of episodes, like 100 episodes. They've only done 10.
And I picked them, actually. The first time I listened to them, I actually picked their episode 3. And I listened to the current one. I missed the first two for some reason. Perhaps I just didn't know them at that point. And I listened to episode 3. I think I found them on Twitter, or they followed us or something, and I was like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. So I listened to their episode 3. It was brilliant. And I went straight back and listened to 1 and 2, and same thing. I was like, there's no way that's their first 3 episodes. It just sounds way better than that. And then I've been listening every week since
that. Yeah, they've actually been in a band together. They wanted to.
Yeah, so that's why they got such good chemistry together. And yeah, you can tell. They have
great... We're father and son, so that's good chemistry.
That really helps as well. But yeah, they have that same chemistry straight up. Very knowledgeable as well.
Yep.
You could tell that. We were asking them questions yesterday because we just don't have that sort of knowledge. But yeah, great podcast. I would absolutely agree. I've been listening now for, well, this will be 9 and I guess 10 week 10 once this next episode comes out. It was a real privilege being on their show. We definitely want them to come on our show sometime. I know we want them to do their review of SmackDown and Raw with us. We had a few technical issues. Skype wasn't working too well, but hopefully that comes through. Sam tells me I think it's Sam who did the editing.
I thought he was Dan.
Oh, Dan. Sorry, it is Dan that does the editing. Dan did the editing, said it came through, so we should be good on that one. But yeah, definitely check out the IIOY ! On iTunes. It's really difficult to find their podcast, and I said that if you type in "Is it over yet?" nothing comes up, or it didn't used to anyway. I think if you find them on Twitter, I think it's IIOY podcast. I think that's how it works. But yeah, definitely go check those guys out.
Yes, I think you're right. Because I saw it on the top of the Skype thing before, and it was like IIOY.
Correct, because I messaged them and basically said, yeah, we're ready. We're ready. And they're actually releasing on Wednesday like we are this week. So by the time this episode comes out, theirs will probably be out as well. So yeah, if you're listening to this...
So I'm not spoiling it.
No, not at all. Go listen to theirs next. No, well, they put a tweet out saying, we got surprise guests. Can you figure out who it's going to be? And then they tagged me and you. I was like, that might be a giveaway. I think your fans can probably figure that one out. All right, mine this week is the Take the Bump podcast. They describe themselves on iTunes as Tag Team Champs of Podcasting, bring you all things wrestling. Now, they've been going for not too long, March 18th, 2018. So we've been going for them probably about a month longer than what they have. One of their reviews was, chatted with these guys on Twitter, really glad I tried their podcast, another to add to the wrestling podcast playlist. And that was posted by a Mr. Bagshaw on April 19th, 2018. So I actually found, I listened to them within the first few episodes, and it was one straight away. I was like, this is good. I like it. They actually have the same theme music as the Blade Job Show. That was one of the things at the start. I was like, whoa, is this the Blade Job? But yeah, I don't know if they even realized that or not. I know Dej Kirby noticed that one as well straight away. So yes, and I actually posted that review now nearly 2 months ago. So just to show you, this is not like, I'm picking one episode. And I didn't pick one episode. All their episodes are good. Now, they also asked for questions as well, and I've been sending them questions for a few weeks now. And also, in the last 3 weeks, they've also been having special NXT reviews. They now release 2 episodes a week. And their NXT reviews are responded to by NXT Grey, which is one of their characters on there. And I think it's NXT Grey who actually is going to do one of our summer sections that we recorded, where we ask people for memories. So I'm not sure which one it is. I think it might be episode 19 that he's on. It's not. It's next week. Episode 18, you can hear NXT Tigray. And I can't remember his actual online name. He was really kind to do that for us. Go follow those guys at Take the Bump Pod. And once again, another podcast that I really like listening to. Comes out, I think it's on Sundays. And I kind of like to listen to it because it reminds me that when it's coming up on Monday, what just happened. Because 6 days later, sometimes I kind of forget what's happened.
It's Bon Voyage from me.
And it's Bon Voyage from him.
Bon Voyage.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0, http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.